Welcome to the Trisexuals, a podcast about spreading your legs and opening your mind. Please be advised that you must be over 18 years of age to ride. Remember that the Trisexuals cover adult themes and concepts and oftentimes use salty language.
The fucking fucktards from fucking hell.
For your safety and the safety of others, please keep your hands in your pants at all times. Enjoy the ride.
She has a dolphin penis.
I mean, she
doesn't have a dolphin penis.
No, but I'm playing with one right now.
It's not attached to a real dolphin.
No, it's just on my hand. And I'm just playing with the tip of it, going boingy, boingy, boingy.
Have a sex toy, we'll try it. Have a fetish, we'll try it. We masturbate and copulate to recreate and educate. We are the Trisexuals.
Hello and welcome to the Trisexuals. I'm Max Chameleon.
I'm Lily Chameleon.
And I'm Kit.
And guess what, guys? We are now officially time travelers. Why do you say? Because you're going to be hearing our voices right now. And there's stuff that we've already recorded that you're going to be hearing later. Yes, in the future. We're going back to the future. But part of the reason we wanted to do that is because Lily and I, and yes, Kit, who actually flew out to attend a furry convention, we wanted to make sure that we recorded a podcast directly after that while Kit was still here. And so now your boobs come out. Kit came out to visit us here in Denver to attend Rocky Mountain FurCon. We're going to talk about that, the episode after this episode, even though it was recorded previous to us recording this episode.
Oh my God, that was probably the most confusing thing I think I've ever heard in my
life. Well, my job is to thoroughly confuse people so I can blind them with sex. Like with science, but with sex instead.
Don't quit your day job.
I'm trying to. All right, so there's actually a lot of exciting stuff going on right now. I believe Kit has some news for us for something she may have set up with a little company called Frisky Beast.
I do. I am really excited because we are going to do, dun dun dun, another giveaway. So, I know, it's really exciting. Frisky Beast, who makes a lot of really fun fantasy toys, released a line of kaiju toys. They've got a Hump Break and a Shell Shock and a Croxic. They're really cool. And we're going to be giving one of these away. So, the winner actually gets to pick which model. And it's going to be smaller, mini size, with some mystery colors. So, it's going to be a really fun thing. And you'll want to check out the show notes, and it'll have all the details where you can go and enter and hopefully win one of these beauties.
And I love Frisky Beast with that because their colors are amazing.
Yeah,
they've really
gotten down that silicone color mixing to a science. But, you know, since this is a kaiju giveaway, I feel compelled. Holy no, look out! It's a Frisky Beast coming to destroy the city! Ah! I don't know why I did that with an Italian accent, but there you go. So why don't we go to a little section we like to call What's Playing or Share and Tell. This is Show and Tell. Share and Tell sounds like a lot more fun.
It does.
Anyway, this is where we talk about what toys have been interesting to us lately and what's been on our mind. So I'll start off the segment. I have been using Hazel, the Werewolfess Penetrable from Bad Dragon. This is one of my favorite penetrables. I've actually had her for, oh gosh, what, 4 years probably?
Yeah, about 4 years.
You know, she is really nicely made. One of the, like I said, one of my favorite penetrables that I have. And one of the things that's really great about her is that she has, instead of just being like straight through, she has a ledge kind of like when you go in. And I like to call it the ledge that I edge with. But it feels really great. You know, high quality. It is a Bad Dragon toy, and it's got probably one of the more interesting shapes that you can find in a penetrable toy. Might be a little much for some, but you know, I think it's pretty cool. And yeah, so check that out.
All right. Well, what I've also been working on is something by Bad Dragon. It's actually the Dolphin. This is one of their toys that's released on occasion, kind of like the Desi, where it's, you know, every so often they'll release a toy.
Yeah, it's not available at all times on Bad Dragon. It's one that every once in a while they have a special where they release some of their nautical toys. They have like a seahorse, they have Desi the Orca, and they have the dolphin.
Now, what's amazing about the dolphin penis is actually it is the same shape as an actual dolphin penis, where it is prehensile, meaning it can move all different ways.
It's a very unique shape, something only nature could devise.
So what I really like about this is, as a female-bodied individual, there's a really good texture down at the base, and so when you're grinding against it, it feels absolutely amazing on the clitoral area. Another thing is with the big base, you can actually lay it on the ground or on a bed or a flat surface and be able just to grind against it, which is really nice.
Yeah, when it's laying flat on the ground, it kind of like the shaft part of itself is off to the side, so you can kind of like back onto it. Kind of unique shape for a toy.
Yeah, and I love the colors. So yeah, anyway, Kit, what have you been working on?
Well, I've got something really, really special here today. I brought with me. This is an amethyst tentacle wand by Glass by Woozy. And Glass by Woozy is a one-person shop. Like, Woozy Wolf makes these things by hand. So this is kind of the only one out there that looks like this. And everything in Woozy's shop is amazing. Like, the first time I opened up and looked at that Etsy shop, I was like, oh my god, I gotta get my hands on one of these. So when he made me one, I just said, make me, you know, it's gotta have a little curve, kind of surprise me with the colors. And this amazing thing came back. Like, it's this tentacle. It's got a little curly tentacle tail. That the head looks like it's made out of amethyst. It's got like layers of color. I mean, it is gorgeous. And the little tentacle things are bumpy, so when you twist them, like, you get this great sensation on the G-spot. It is an awesome toy. It was so cool. In fact, I just barely ended a giveaway for a toy made by Woozy. We'll probably do another one in the future just because he's so awesome. But I put a review up on my site, and you'll find that in the show notes, where you can kind of read about all the details and see some pictures of this, because it is gorgeous. It is to die for. So that is what's been occupying my playtime for a while now.
Yeah, talk about dildos as art. I mean, those glass toys that Woozy does, they look unbelievable. It's like, you know, the marble effect that you see in them is just
really
cool.
Oh my god, I've
really
been
cool.
Coveting one of those for probably a good couple months now.
Yeah, well, too bad you didn't win the giveaway. You gotta,
I know.
Gotta keep trying.
Oh, I so want one.
Oh, they're cool, because if you look actually, like, in the shaft of mine, there are three different layers of, like, color and design. Like, there's this, like, middle layer that's, like, really opaque, and then you've got this, like, other stripey thing, and there's glitter, and there's, like, it's just, I don't even know how a person makes one of these things.
I was just wondering, like, how the heck does he make that? You know, maybe we'll have to talk to him, see if maybe he'd like to, you know, share a little bit about his artistry and how that's done. I'd love to learn more about that.
Well, I know he has some pictures on his site, too, that show, like, a toy in progress being made. And that's really cool, too. So, yeah, something we want to talk more about in future episodes, I'm sure.
I mean, who doesn't love a piece of glass you can put in your ass? All right. So, this is part two of our Pet and Pony Play episode. Last episode, we talked about, you know, kind of like an introduction to pet play and pony play, talked about some of our experiences with it. And it's such a big and interesting subject. It's too large for one episode, so we thought we'd expand it out to here. So, Kit, would you like to give us a little rundown on some of the things you we talked about last episode? Anything you may have learned?
Oh, I learned so much during that last episode. It was really, really interesting. And it was really fun because we got to have interviews with the Denver Pony Teamsters Union and actually hear, you know, more about it from actual pony players. And we covered so much about what pony play is, what it isn't, what the headspace is like. It was really interesting. So if you haven't yet heard this episode, if you're just now tuning into us, you want to go back, take a listen to that as well, and you'll learn a lot of good stuff. And this time around, we're actually going to look a little bit more into the toys and the sort of the goodies that go along with this, which I'm really excited to talk more about today.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the really fun parts about doing it. I mean, like we mentioned before, you don't need you know, you don't need a lot of money or investment to start enjoying these things. But once you do, I mean, it's fun to get all the little bits and bobs that go along with playing, and you start up a little collection, and it's just a, you know, just like any other hobby, you want to have a lot of fun with it and buy what you can. So I figured we'd start off with some of the ones that are more specific to Pet and Pony Play. We're going to start on Pony Play and talk about some of the stuff that we actually have. So one of the things that you'll find pony players will have is these bits and headstalls. These are things that in some cases can actually be real pony and horse headstalls that, you know, they're made out of leather, nylon straps, whatever. There's all sorts of different materials. And they go around the pony's head, and it's something that you can attach reins to. Also give kind of a cool look. So some people have actually modified real pony tack like that so that they can wear them on their human heads. And some places actually make these specific for human ponies. So Lily has a head stall that we got from a place that no longer does it anymore, Waterhole Leather. And it's absolutely beautiful. It was in the first episode. If you look at the YouTube video, we'll be sure to have it in our YouTube video for this and have a link in the show notes. But, you know, she's got her pink plume on there. And, I mean, it serves the purpose of making her look the part, but also once you put it on, it kind of helps you enter the headspace.
Right, which is a little bit what I touched upon last podcast, where as soon as I put that headspace on, it actually puts me right into that.
Your headstall.
Headstall. Thank you. It puts me right into that headspace. And what's really nice about it is there's also these really soft little blinders that go over my eyes if I want them to. And
they can snap on and off. So you can have just like regular blinders that are on the side, or you can even have full blinding blinders that go across your eyes. You can't see anything.
I think the blinders are something that really helps you get into the headspace because you are relying on someone who is holding onto the reins. So you're just totally immersed and have all your trust in this other person.
Yeah, well, Pet and Pony Play in general for a lot of people means, you know, the freedom of giving up control, as crazy as that sounds. And what better way than to take away your senses? You can't have control even if you want it. So you have to rely on someone else and fully trust in them that they're not going to run you into a table or anything like that. So that's some of the primary stuff you see in with pony players. There's also harnesses you can wear around your body.
Some for fashion, some also for
utility.
Utility to hook up to carts.
Our friend Tromper actually has things to hook up to so he can pull a cart. You know, it looks really cool. One of our favorite pieces of pony tack, which isn't necessarily specific to Pony Play, but it works really well as a riding crop. So we have this really cute pink riding crop that Pony Tiger Lily gets little smacks with. And actually, you can use it in a non-smacking manner to, you know, like you put press it against the back of one of her legs and then she'll pull it up like, you know.
Like actual bio pony.
Like
stuff.
An actual bio pony. And one of the things that we also have for Pony Tiger Lily is a tack box. And in there we have stuff like really soft brushes. We have some pony-specific stuff. Like there was a tool in there for like, I don't know, cleaning hooves or something like that.
Yeah, cleaning hooves.
Now, we don't use that obviously for its intended purpose, but at that part of the scene, like this will be before or after she's doing actual pony-like activities, it's just kind of like a sense play thing, right? Like she's there, possibly eyes closed, and I'll be running this hoof cleaner along the bottom of her foot or whatever just for fun. Or, you know, the soft brush always feels good.
Oh, yeah. And one of the things, especially when you're doing pony play outside, that feels so good after is the spray bottle.
Oh, yeah. In Lily, Tiger Lily's tack box, we have a spray bottle, and I either mist it and she can walk into it, or, you know, mist it on a towel that we keep along with her tack box and kind of wipe her down, cool her down. So all sorts of stuff that helps her enter the play space. And a lot of that stuff you can get from actual tack stores.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be expensive, doesn't have to be crazy. But with all these, you'll also find that there's places that create pony play specific gear, you know, meant for human ponies.
Right. And going into that with how things can be not as expensive, inexpensive, pup play, it's such an inexpensive
culture. In general, it can be, I don't know about inexpensive culture, but it can be a lot less expensive because for, you know, the stuff that pups will use would be actual, like, pup toys. You can buy them, like, puppy chew toys and, you know, tennis balls and that sort of thing. You know, you don't have to go crazy with it. And, you know, I have a collar for when I'm in my pup play mood, and Max the pony, or Max the pony, Max the pup. I just have it. It's a regular dog collar. And I got a tag made at where, you know, the same place you get tag made for Fido. You know, you just put Max on it and there you go. So, yeah, nothing too fancy. Now, some people will have their hoods that look like pups, and, you know, there's all sorts of different styles there. Ones that are more partial to the face or take up the whole face or, you know, whatever. Now, that's not, you know, totally necessary, but a lot of people like the look. You know, for some people, smelling the leather is part of what can bring them into headspace. When Max Pup plays, I actually have this really fancy motorcycle leathers that I got from Fetish Zone when it was on sale. And it's like this full body thing. And it's meant for like protecting your body if you fall off a motorcycle. But because it's all leather and it looks really sleek and modern and cool, I kind of like, you know, if I'm just not playing around too much, you know, because it's really hot and sweaty. But if I just want to go around and have a cool leather look to me, I'll put that on and put my pup hood on. And I look really pretty badass with that.
Badass, downright hot.
Comments like that will get you everywhere with me. Mm. All right, so Kit, now, I mean, you came across some of these fantasy sex toys that might be related to animals that we pet play with, but you didn't come directly into pet play, is that right?
Exactly right. At the time when I started blogging and really getting into fantasy sex toys, I hadn't heard of pet play of any kind, but I did have a real interest in the fantasy toys. They're really beautiful, and a lot of them are based on the shape of horses or wolves or even a lot of other different animals as well. And I brought one with me today to talk about a little bit, I guess, in a show and tell. I've got the Subwoofer here by Exotic Erotics, and it's fun because it's actually an android wolf. Like, it's got all these little circuits and little electronical looking things. It's really awesome.
Yeah, it looks really cool. And for those that might not be too familiar with you know, fantasy sex toys or the anatomy of wolves and horses, like what the fantasy sex toys borrow in each case is a little bit different. So canine style toys will have something known as the knot. I don't think we've talked about this before. Make sure we cover it. So a knot is this thing that's closer to the base of the penis, and it's a larger engulfed area. And, you know, many fantasy sex toys around there have kind of a canine base, and that would be true of the Subwoofer. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's just an exceptional looking toy. I really want one of those.
Yeah, well, and the knot feels really awesome too. I mean, it is like a real sudden change in girth, but that's actually kind of fun because it sort of, you know, locks the toy in a little bit, and it's just a really interesting feeling.
Yeah, and it kind of gives you something to like work up to, right? You get like the initial part of the shaft, you know, and especially like for me when I'm playing back there, you know, that can take a certain amount of time. And then there's this like goal that you try to get to, right? So they try to get to the knot.
And wolf toys are good, like you say, for back end play too, because a lot of times they're a lot more tapered and a lot more pointy on the ends.
Yeah,
than
absolutely.
A human one would be so.
Yeah, I mean, Lily, how do you feel about like canine shaped toys like the Subwoofer? I know that you and I have tried an Ellipsarc canine. Mm-hmm. As well, and you've also played with the Kadejo from Fetish Zone, which are canine toys.
Right, which is one of my faves as well. And as a smaller individual, I really enjoy the idea of the knots, but I'm so small down there that sometimes I can't even get to the knot.
So you're talking about, you know, through
vaginal use.
Vaginally. Your vagina's not
deep enough.
Okay,
which can be kind of frustrating, especially because you want to feel what, you know, you want to get down to what it feels like. And there have been very few, I think maybe just one toy that I was able to get to the knot, if you remember.
Fenrir. for Bad Dragon.
And I have the exact same problem. I'm pretty shallow on the depth too, and that's actually one of the things that's nice about the subwoofer too, is I get the mini size and it's easy.
Mini, okay.
Yeah, it's easy to go all the way. I'm pretty sure it's mini and not small. It's the smallest one they make, and it's perfect because you can get to the knot, but a lot of toys, yeah, I have no hope of even reaching the knot, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, with my pansy pooper, I agree with a lot of this. I mean, usually like depth isn't so much an issue, but you know, I wouldn't mind seeing smaller knots. So what I really want is a toy like the Ellipse Art that we got to try that has an inflatable knot. Mm-hmm. You know, goes in slow, then you can, you know, get it up to a larger size, you know, kind of like an inflatable butt plug.
But even you, if I remember correctly, had a hard time getting past the knot even when it wasn't inflated.
Well, yeah, that was, we had the largest Ellipse Art. We had, I think it's called the Vixen or something like that. They
that
make smaller
insane.
Ones. Yeah, it took me actually a good week to get the knot on that guy, even with it not being inflated, but they do offer smaller ones. On the other side of things, you have like horse inspired dildos. Now they tend to obviously be larger or pretty long, and actually the case of like Chance the Stallion from Bad Dragon, it's much more long than it is thick. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways. And Chance is actually one of my favorite back-end toys. I have the small version of it. So, I mean, it's only about an inch, I think, at its thickest around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about the right size for me. But there's, like, all this length to play with. So, you know, that's a lot of fun.
And for me, I love Chance. The other one that we've tried is Sleipnir, which is the demon horse. And unfortunately, when we got Sleipnir, we got the,
I think it was the medium. And in Bad Dragon terms, medium stands for ridiculously large. You're never going to get it in your pansy pooper.
Or in your pansy vagina.
Or in your pansy vagina. Or pansy pussy.
Pansy pussy, yeah.
Come on, you got to go for the alliteration here.
I tried so hard.
Yeah, which has been kind of a pain because we were really happy to try out a Sleipnir.
And it was a squirtable, too.
It was just like the awesome one with the awesome colors that you see on there, the default like dark black and blues. But we had to outsource that review to a friend of ours. That review isn't finished yet, but we'll hopefully have that at some point soon here. And, you know, she did us a real favor in trying out that toy for us. Yeah, so some of the other things, like stepping back a little bit to some of the less dildo-like things that you can have. There's, of course, pup hoods and pony hoods. Stockroom actually sent us this beautiful pup hood. It's the one that I wear when I'm Max Pup. And it's actually a pretty reasonable price. I can't remember it off the top of my head. I'll link to it in the show notes. But what I like about this one is a lot of the hoods that you get for pup or pony play, they kind of like obscure your whole head or look a little bit goofy, but this one leaves like it's your eyes, it's your side of the head, there's just straps and stuff, and there's like a muzzle, and inside that muzzle it actually has a ball gag, which makes it hard to talk, which helps add to the whole effect. And also there's this one time that I was using it with Lily. I was in Max Pup headspace, and you know, I mean, doggy style, of course. I mean, why not? And during this point, there's nothing I could do about it. But as I'm sitting here having sex with Lily doggy style, there's drool coming out of my mouth and out of my muzzle and dripping down Lily's back, which doesn't sound so hot, but at the time it was kind of sexy.
Are you kidding? Just listening to you makes it sound really fucking hot.
Just this drooling canine going at it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a good time. And one of our favorite things to use is these tails. So there's all sorts of butt plug tails that you can get. We have a couple. One of our favorite ones comes from Mio. This is a German sex toy company. Link in the show notes again. And they have this, it's almost like a ring tail slash raccoon kind of like tail, but it's like really soft and it's really comfortable to put in. The butt plug self part itself is metal. It's easy to get in. And then once you have it, you kind of like can feel the warm, fuzzy tail against the back of your legs. And you can kind of wag it by, you know, shaking your butt back and forth. And, you know, it's just a lot of fun to wear. Sometimes I, you know, just put that in for cuddling up Lily, cuddling up on the couch and watching something, and just to have, like, the feeling of having a tail like that. So, now, Kit, I think you mentioned it last time. You have a ponytail, right? Have you gotten to use your tail any more than that or gotten any other attachments for it?
I don't have any more attachments for it, sadly, but I'd love that tail. It's such a pretty one by Crystal Delights. It's big, like, ponytail right. with a big pink floofy. Yeah, it's really nice.
So that one you can switch out different tail animal tails on it. Is that right?
Different colors of ponytails. Different right colors. Now, I don't think they make it so that you can put in, you know, a wolf tail or a cat tail or something. I wish they would, and maybe hopefully someday in the future they'll consider that. That would be awesome.
So what would be the next tail that you'd want to have?
Oh, you know, I've got my eye on one that they make that's a pink snow leopard. Yeah,
it sounds awesome.
It is really beautiful. I mean, it's a hard call to make because a lot of the really floofy wolf tail ones are beautiful too. But I think I'd have to go with that pink snow leopard. You know, go with the whole kit theme would be.
Oh right, yeah, yeah. Really get your nice. Little cuddly kit tail on.
Yep. Got to have a kit tail.
I think that pretty much wraps it up. But I did want to mention one thing about the Kadejo that we mentioned earlier, that canine shaped toy. Is what's a neat feature about that one is actually
a sheath.
So you can put that over your human penis and it'll take the shape of a canine penis. And that can be a lot of fun for wolf play. We did a review on that a while back, labeled Why Wolfie Style is Our Favorite Position, and that's one of my favorite reviews that I've released, and actually one of our more popular ones, so you should go ahead and check that out. So now, it's been a while now, it's been like probably a month, but there was a large event that took place here in Denver for Lily and I that we attended called Thunder in the Mountains, and that is the premier BDSM sex toy thing. We mentioned, or not sex toy, I'm sorry, BDSM meet that we have here in Denver. We talked about it a little bit last time, but since then we've actually gone and got to experience our first Thunder in the Mountains, and there was a lot of cool things that happened there. We saw a lot of neat things. So, you know, even though we're going to talk mostly about the pet and pony play aspects here, you know that there's a lot of BDSM stuff there, and we're probably going to touch upon that in later episodes. But
yeah, for instance, while we were doing our pet and pony play, there was people being suspended. There was bondage, rope play, fire play, fire cupping, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, anything that you know falls under the BDSM thing that you know falls under the reasonable rules there, then you know you would have seen it there. But we're lucky enough in this group of BDSM folks to have, of course, the Pony Teamsters Union, which you all got to meet last episode, and there's also a pup players group and other people that are interested in pup and pony play that aren't even part of those groups that just want to try it. And so we actually have like our own tract off to the side of all the fun bondage devices where there's actually a physical pony track that's been laid down. You know, it's like tape on the carpet there. This is taking place at the convention center, but I don't know how big is it. It's like Olympic size pool size, right?
It's
like bigger
big.
Than that. And in the center of it, there's a pup play pit. So they lay down these comfy mats, and you know, so pups can go there and not
just
hurt
pups, kittens too.
Oh, that's true. Pups, kittens, and oh my god, I can't believe we forgot to put this in the show notes. We got to talk about the squirrel, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. Did you forget about the squirrel?
I did forget about the squirrel.
All right, but anyway, we'll get back to that in a minute. But yeah, so. What was kind of cool about that is this new experience, which is always, you know, a lot of fun, but kind of, you know, an anxiety thing for us sometimes. It was nice because we knew a bunch of people there and we had kind of home base. Like whenever the play parties were going on, which they happened every night there, there was the pony section where we could take our time, get in headspace and kind of do our own little pony play things and our own track to run on. And that was, you know, even though sometimes people would cross over it, that was, you know, set aside just for us to use, and we had priority to use that space. So that was a ton of fun. Lily was the first one that got to start, out of the two of us that got to try out her pony persona. So tell us what that was like.
It was really awesome. I actually had these amazing hooves that I was wearing, as well as a jingly outfit.
Chaos Costumes made those hooves. They're actually, they're basically stilettos, right?
Yeah, there are women's stilettos that have the actual heel ripped off. And what it does is it gives you the illusion of having a digitigrated leg.
That's correct. And it has a hoof like attached to the front of it. They look really awesome. We'll have to link a picture in the show notes. But she was going around with those.
And I actually ran around the track a couple times with those. Remember? Yeah. It was great.
And all the while she was wearing like this belly dancing outfit with all the little jinglies on it. So you could just hear her as she's like doing her skipping and hoofing around. It's like shing, shing, shing. Just had this great tactile like feel and look to it.
Yeah, and then there was another pony girl there, and we started racing. That was so much fun, actually, getting into the racing headspace.
Racing around the pony track, actually lining the two pony players up and having them go and see who came in first.
And I think that was the night that you did pup play, or was that the second night? I'm trying to remember.
I never pup played.
Oh, I thought you had.
I had put on my pup stuff to walk around and look all sexy, but I never got a chance to pup play there.
Oh.
But despite not being able to pup play, I had my first real experience with pony play. So if you remember from last episode, I was going to try it originally, and I ended up breaking a leg. Well, thankfully, my leg is healed now. So this has been the real first opportunity I've had to try out pony play as the pony in a space such as this. And so my friend Tromper had an extra head stall on. It was actually this really great Native American style head stall. I looked absolutely incredible in it.
I posted
a tweet with the picture of me from behind on it. It has like this cool mohawk like mane, actually made out of real horse hair. So he let me borrow that, and I tried it on. My pony is called Pony Sebastian. Now, as you may have heard some of the pony players and pup players talk about before, sometimes you don't really know what your headspace is or what it's going to be like until you give it a shot, right? So I didn't really have too many expectations. But once I got this head stall on and I had gotten down to pretty much nothing but my underwear, I mean, right? I don't think I was wearing anything else besides the head stall bit and, right? Like that
yeah, I
was
think
it.
That was it.
I don't know, something in my headspace started to change and I could feel it. And I saw this track there and I saw other ponies running around it. And I just, things kind of like went tunnel vision a bit. And all I could think about was like, I really want to run. I really want to run. I really want to run. Now, I'm a runner in real life, too. I mean, I'm not like professional runner or anything like that. But it's something I tend to enjoy, especially trail running. And so this is a feeling I'm somewhat familiar with, but it was just really intense. And despite the fact that there's all this BDSM and sex play going on, like all I wanted to do was just take off and start going around this track. And if you were to see me there, I was like shuffling my feet and moving back and forth, like clearly very, I don't want to say anxious, but I was like clearly ready to go. Like a lot of people could tell that like, oh, he must be a runner. So I think one of the first things I got to try was lining up with a couple other ponies and doing a pony race.
Oh my God. Let's just say that he kind of kicked all of our asses.
Yeah, I mean, there had been ponies racing before, but I came in, I don't know, it felt like many, many seconds before anyone else crossed the finish line.
Okay, let me put it this way. He crossed the finish line and we're still on the other side of the track. But what's amazing for me to see is this is someone who I know really wanted to be into pony play and get into the headspace. And I found out I'm not a handler. I'm not into that headspace for being a handler. I'm more of a pony. So thankfully there was this other person there that found out that she was actually a handler.
Yeah, it was her first time being around pony players before. She'd been curious about them. And this is one of the great things about Thunder Mountains and a lot of these BDSM things in general is that you get to see cool stuff going on. You get a little bit of curiosity about it. You go over, meet some people, and then the next thing you know, that's your jam. That's what you're really into. So this person, I won't mention her name because we haven't talked to her ahead of time, but she was super awesome. She was just absolutely a natural at dealing with all the ponies there. And as it turns out in our group, we have, I think, a higher percentage of people that want to be ponies than percentage of people that want to be pony handlers. We have very few pony handlers. Everyone wants to be a pony. So everyone was very anxious to try her out as a handler, and she just had a great time treating us like how she, you know, somebody, she asked like, well, how do I treat a pony player? And somebody told her like, look, just treat them like they're bio ponies that you have, you know, back, back whenever you had, just treat them like bio ponies.
And what's great about that is she changed her words, even her, body language to match the different types of ponies. For instance, for me, I didn't realize this, but I'm very spunky and free-willed.
Yeah.
So she was like, easy pony, easy pony.
Yeah, she would just like as soon as the scene would start, she'd be like, easy pony, easy pony, easy pony. Not interacting with you like a human, but like the way that she kind of like did this patter, it was almost hypnotic. It like kind of put you in a trance. It was just absolutely the perfect thing. So everyone had a bunch of fun playing with her. So one of the things that I got to try at Thunder in the Mountains was pulling a cart. So, you know, like we mentioned last episode, there's this actual small cart that they have, and you can have somebody be riding it, and you get to pull them. Now, most of the other ponies like to do this, but they kind of pull it like a reasonable rate. But it turns out that the pony handler we had there could tell that I kind of wanted to break loose a little bit. I was apparently doing some of the signs that a regular bio pony would, that he's ready to go on a bit of a trot. So, you know, they flipped the reins just like you would with a real horse, and I took off, and they were trying to see how fast they could get me going. Oh man, it was a ton of fun. The one lady I pulled around in the cart, she was laughing so hard and just having such a great time. You know, so that was really great. I really got to experience what it was like to be in Pony Headspace, see why Tiger Lily likes it so much. And on top of that, we learned something about our relationship. I never thought that I would be a pony or a pup without Lily being my handler. To me, that was the only way I kind of felt comfortable. But this experience at Thunder in the Mountain showed me that, hey, it's okay to have someone that's, you know, a handler that isn't Lily, and have fun with somebody else. It's not in a sexual context even, you know, it's just whatever it is. We're just having fun, just having a good time.
Because it's something that my headspace, I'm not into, so it's great to find someone that can feel that type of need that you have.
Absolutely.
And it makes me feel really good because I get to see the pony Sebastian that I already knew existed.
But you didn't know he was a race pony, did you?
I had an idea.
You had an idea?
I had an idea, considering even when you and I are just walking down the street, you're about six paces ahead of me.
Well, that's true. But yeah, so it looks like I found my pony thing, and I kind of want to get like those, the cool gear that like race ponies have, with, like a number and stuff like that. Like, this seems like kind of fun.
The silk hoods and everything.
The hoods, like the eye hole. Oh, yeah, that just seems like it would be really cool. And it's going to be green and white. My handler has already talked to me about what color scheme that you would like me to have. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. So, going back to the cart a little bit, there was, you know, we've been talking a lot about Headspace, and for people that haven't experienced it, it's sometimes hard to communicate how strong Headspace can be for certain people. And there was a thing that happened at Thunder in the Mountains that I think really illustrates for some folks like what it can mean and how deep the Headspace can go. So if you guys remember, last episode we talked to a pony workhorse. His name was Tromper. He really loves pulling carts. One of his favorite things to do. So he was pulling someone around in the cart at Thunder in the Mountains, and the tire, like sometimes happens, the what is it called? The tube in it actually burst. Now, this is a very loud sound, especially when you're inside in a confined space. I mean, everyone like turned and looked. This was a, you know, this was kind of like a big deal. Like,
yeah,
play
DM,
just stopped for a minute.
All the DMs came over to make sure everything was okay.
And so at this time, of course, Tromper is in deep pony headspace. He's been pulling this cart for a few minutes. He's, enjoying this. He feels like he's in the pony headspace. So when I had seen this, this was across on the other side of the track for me. Like, you could tell right away that he was acting like a pony that had been, or a bio horse that had been, what is it called?
Startled.
You know, he was like kind of like chomping at the bit a little bit, being uneasy. And at that point, like, I realized, wait a minute, like, we need to get over there and kind of calm him down like you would an actual bio pony, right? And so I talked to Tromper about this after the fact, and he told me that this experience really demonstrated a lot to him how strong his headspace got. He wouldn't have known ahead of time if a loud noise like that or something startling like that would have taken him right out of headspace, or if he'd stay in headspace, or what the deal was. So he was actually kind of excited that this happened, because it showed him that he has a very strong headspace, and he could, I mean, yeah, he just, this isn't something that you could have planned ahead of time, because if he had known that somebody was going to try to startle him, then he would have been prepared for it, right? So, but yeah, so I ended up running over there and, you know, kind of petting him between the eyes like you do for a real horse, and, you know, got the situation under control. But I just thought that was a really interesting thing to see and experience. Oh, and stepping back, just one last thing I want to say about Thunder in the Mountains.
There was an actual squirrel.
Yeah, one of the greatest things I've seen in this pup pit in the middle, where all these pups are goofing around, having fun, throwing, you know, catching tennis balls, all that sort of thing. Somebody had come dressed up in a squirrel outfit. Like, they had the squirrel tail and the ears, and the whole joke being, of course, that dogs love to chase squirrels, so here's this like squirrel like just harassing all the dogs.
And then the squirrel would end up playing dead, and so the pups were coming up and sniffing him. And, yeah. Oh my god, it was fantastic.
And it's really a great example of how, like, this BDSM play just takes on another level from just like some, you know, kinky sexual thing to do. And in fact, I didn't see any pups there have sex. They were all just playing, chasing a ball, and just letting that headspace consume them and freeing themselves from their human shackles, so to speak. So, yeah, that was just a really cool thing. And squirrel person, whoever you are, you're awesome.
That was fantastic.
Great idea. So Kit, you got any questions about any of that?
Oh, I don't have any questions because you explained it so well. Like, that was really fascinating, because I didn't get a chance to go to Thunder in the Mountains, and I'm really, really jealous, but that's okay.
Well, you'll get to go next year for sure.
Yeah. So getting a chance to hear about all the things that happened and how everything went and played out, like, that was just really fascinating to me. So now I've got to go see this next year.
Absolutely. And for a lot of folks that live here in Denver, this is like the one thing each year that they look forward to, and they just live for this. This is like, you know, they get to see all their friends, people come from out of town, obviously, and they get to just be themselves and experience all these cool, fun, new, exciting things together as kind of a big family. And that's just, you can just feel that as soon as you walk in there. You know, everyone's welcomed, and it's just incredible experience. With that, I think we pretty much wrapped up Thunder in the Mountains.
I think so.
And now is the time that we go to listener questions. Would anyone like to read off the question?
So this question actually references the Rocky Mountain Fur Con that we all went to. And this question comes to us from @PonyTromper. They ask, I'm curious about attendance and if it was mostly regional folk, or did people travel in? Also, any cool ponies?
Well, first, let's talk about the ponies. There was lots of cool ponies there. Yeah,
the really cool one has to be that really tall unicorn.
Yeah, that unicorn is incredible. And, I mean, he's, like, super tall, to the point of, like, where he sees out of his fursuit is actually... And I'm sure that's what Tromper was asking us, is, you know, if there were any cool, you know, fursuits there, any cool costumes. Yeah, but where he sees out is actually in the neck of the pony. So above that person's actual head is the rest of, like, the pony or horse head, and then a horn off the top of that.
And the pony's, like, the unicorn's eyes glow, and it's the coolest effect.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. That was a really
So, yeah, I mean, there's lots of cool ponies there.
I did see some references to My Little Ponies.
Yeah, and
I
there was whoever that DJ pony is.
Oh, I have no idea.
I think it's DJ Pony. I think that's what it is. There was a really nice My Little Pony fursuit of that character. So to answer Tromper's question as far as the attendance, there was at this Rocky Mountain Fur Con that we attended, there was 1,677 people. Of those people, there was 284 fursuiters that participated in the parade, 75 people that were on staff, 65 dealers. Artists in the art show was 35, and the total pieces of art in the art show were 350. So I knew this all off the top of my head, of course, and I'm not looking at Wiki right now.
Don't forget, I actually brought home some artwork, remember?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we did purchase some artwork there. And, you know, you'll hear a little bit more about this in our episode to come. But one of the things I'd like to mention here is raise money for charities. And in this particular case, Rocky Mountain Fur Con was raising money for Freedom Service Dogs. And they raised $3,588 for Freedom Service Dogs. So you think about the number of attendees, 1,677, and how much on average each one of those people spent towards the, you know, that donation. So that's pretty incredible. And with a lot of fur cons, you know, people come from all over the world. I mean, this is one of the larger fur cons, you know, pretty medium in scale. But still, we ran into people that are over there from, I mean, other countries. I mean, a lot of people from nearby states and that sort of thing. You know, the con itself is held by the airport, so a lot of people just, you know, come right over on a plane and pop over to the airport. I don't have any numbers on where people were from, but, you know, we personally met a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Lots of people.
From different places, so there you go.
So, yeah, unfortunately, we just had that one question this time. So I'm really hoping next time we'll have a couple more.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for goofy questions, man. You guys are way too polite.
They're not polite. They're way too tame. Way too tame.
Yeah. I mean, I still got to solve this Oreo mystery. Well, I mean, we know what the answer to the Oreo mystery is. You know, lemon Oreos are the best.
No, they're not.
No, they are.
No, they're not.
All right. Moving on. So feel free to send us your questions at hashtag AskTrisexuals. And I'll probably be creating an email address soon where you can send in questions there.
And be sure to enter our giveaway for the Frisky Beast Kaiju. Keep an eye out for that.
I'm Max. Thanks for listening to Trisexuals.
And I'm Lily.
And I'm Kit.
Remember to rate us on iTunes, tell your friends about the Trisexuals, and put all your money on Sebastian Pony to win, place, or show.
And you've never had doggy style until you've had to throw a tennis ball 6 times.
And don't forget to use mane and tail to keep your tail nice and shiny every day of the week.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Guys.
Thank you.
Fuck a duck, a female duck, screw a baby kangaroo, finger bang and a ring a ting, let an elephant eat you. Feel the penis of an eel. Whack the asshole of a yak. Masturbate with a gnu. That will bring us back to fuck, 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 fuck.